Here at Grace Community, we're in the midst of our book of Hebrews study, and we are on that theme of holding fast. In the past 2 weeks, we've been in Hebrews chapter 6, and in these 2 weeks, a couple things have happened. Number one, we've been warned. We've talked about a bit of the perils of an insincere faith. We were there. Last week we were encouraged. And I hope you were encouraged last week as we talked through an understanding of how we can truly know that we know. And Pastor Brooks even referenced for us a little bit out of the Gospel of Mark, where one of Jesus' earliest followers said, "Lord, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." And we need to lean in to some of those things that we experience, and yet we can know that we know. Today, we're going to have a little bit of a transition, and that transition actually starts right in the middle of chapter 6 as we head into chapter 7 today. And let me read to you the verse that I have in mind here from chapter 6, verse 9, which it tells us this. It says, "Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation." So are you ready to hear some better things? Are you ready for that? Come on, nod your head, say something a little audible. Yes. Are you ready to hear better things today? Yes. You know, we live in a world weary and ready to hear better things, doesn't it? It's just been groaning. It's been groaning for a long time, but especially this past year, it's been one long collective groan, hasn't it? And yet for many of us, it's not just the world. Often it's our private world where we experience a lot of difficulty. People may about to see the midst of the personal pandemic we're through, but we're going through difficulty. And yet God speaks to us in the midst of those difficulties. He invites us to understand things from his perspective. And I think as we do that today, you're going to leave really challenged and really encouraged. So I love the way that the psalmist puts it this way. As we talk about these better things that we're going to get into today, the psalmist, I believe it's in chapter 89, which says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have their hearts set on pilgrimage. As they go through the valley of Baca," literally the place of weeping, "they make it a place of springs." You see, God wants to take us right in the midst of us, of where we are, in the midst of our difficulty, and help us to experience victory in ways that perhaps that we are not actively experiencing it right now. And by the time we're done today, what I'm going to ask of each of you in this room, I'm going to ask each of you in this room to be ready to make one of two decisions. They're both good decisions. And so I want you to be prepared and be thinking about the stuff that we're going to be processing today. Again, if you're joining us here live or if you're online, there's a couple decisions that we're going to be processing. Let me tell you what one of them would be. I'll give you a little bit of an advance preview. It's good to be here today. It's good to gather online. But the reality is this isn't the destination. We got more of a longer journey to go together. In order to do that well, you really need to be hearing from the one that gives you the instructions that you really need for life. And so if you're not practically finding a way to get into the scriptures every day, you got to be doing that. I was talking to someone just the other day saying, "Hey, how are you doing getting into the Word?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, I did it once this week." I was like, "Well, how would you feel if you only ate once this week? You'd be feeling kind of hungry, wouldn't you? You know?" And so we need to have some practical strategies in mind that help us do that. So right now, I think you know, we're in the midst of the time of Lent. This is the time leading up until Easter. And so what we have offered for each of you is a chance just to have a devotional that can be delivered right to your phone. You just hop on your phone, text 94253, boom, 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 that's your address, and then you just text in the word Lent 21. And we will see that you have delivered to your phone automatically a devotional that will just keep you consistently in the Word. So if you already got something going on, that's great. But if you don't, I want to encourage you, this is a chance. A lot of pastors and ministry leaders speak into this, and you get a chance to be part of that, okay? Let me pray for us as we get into our time together. Father, so we thank you for your kindness, your goodness to us. We ask, God, that you would bless this time. You'd make it a hallowed time because you are great and you do have a plan, Lord, for each person that's in this room. And we would ask that you'd guard us just from the distractions of around us or in our own homes right now or in our own heads. We pray that we'd really zero in on what you're saying here in this text of Hebrews 7. We pray, God, that you just would bless the time, that you would strengthen your people from it. And the result, Lord, would be that you get a lot of glory and they would experience much good. And thank you that those two things are never at odds. We ask your blessing. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Fantastic. Well, we're going to get into some better things we said today. Some lasting things. Better things, lasting things, usually they're quality things. Usually they're valuable. I mean, it's not that temporary things aren't fun. You know, my oldest kids, I remember kind of some of our favorite pastimes. You go to the dollar store, like with 10 bucks in your back pocket. I mean, you can bring home a truckload of stuff. I mean, right? I mean, your car is just, you got everything in there you can imagine. Now, of course, it may or may not be broken by the time you get it home. But nonetheless, you have acquired the stuff. You've got it. But if we're honest, most people aren't really attracted to that. We usually call that, by another word, junk, right? Just a bunch of junk. And generally what we're thirsty for in our life, we want to experience quality. We want to experience things that matter. We want to experience things that actually have lasting value. We may even kind of know this intuitively, right? This is what we want with our family. This is what we want with our friends. We like to build lasting memories. That's why we put an investment into vacations or time spent together. Of course, we get on the other side of those, we get a little older, some of us want something else, we just want to make sure to have a memory that lasts, right? Are you following me? Can I get an amen to that? How many of you, be honest here, it's just a little test, and this is just to hopefully make me feel better. How many of you this week, you walked with energy into a room because you are going to do something? And it was important, but then you arrived at the room and you had no idea why you were there. Can I just see a show of hands? Thank you. You know, it happens, right? And I was at least kind of even just the past couple weeks getting a little wigged out about this because it does seem like it's happening with increasing regularity, right? As they get a little bit older. And yet a friend of mine that I was speaking to, I used to think it was a friend of mine that I was speaking to, said, no, you know what? It has actually nothing to do with age. She was sharing with me. She said, you know, I just recently came across this study, and there is actually a physiological response. So this matters if you're indoors, and if you're going through a door frame and you move from one side to the next, there's a physiological response in your body that somehow makes you forget why you're getting into the next room. Now, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it sure made me feel a whole lot better. You know, so I'm not sure. It seems like God hardwired all of us to be a little bit like cats, right? I mean, they just sort of like run into the room like, for what? You know, but there they are. So we want things that are not like that. We want our memories to last. We want our memory to last. We want things that last because generally things that last have lasting value. It's what's consequential. And what we look at today, that in Christ, we have eternal things. Eternal things. You know, many times if you've been to church for any length of time, you've been admonished by things like, well, you know what, don't store up treasures for yourself on earth. But, you know, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where thieves, you know, aren't going to get in, break it and take it. Rust isn't going to rot it away. Moths aren't going to eat it. And yet sometimes if you're like me, you say like, practically, how do I see that my investment is going in the right direction? Practically, like today, how do I make sure that I'm valuing the things that actually matter in the right direction? Well, today we have a priest we see, a savior, and a king who lasts forever. He remains the same. He doesn't change. And as the scriptures even point out, he doesn't change like the shifting shadows. Unlike other things in our life, he can be counted on. And this king assures us that in our lives, we can not only last, but that we can have everlasting life. And yes, what we're going to be talking about today is that we can come to experience lasting victory. Jesus put it this way in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. That is supposed to be the byproduct. That is supposed to be the experience of those that call Jesus their Lord and Savior. But practically, many times we see that we're lacking in that, if we're honest, right? We don't necessarily see that pragmatically happening in our life. Well, what's the problem? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit today. Because if it's to ask you, do you want to see lasting victory? Everyone says, of course I want to see lasting victory. I want to win. No one sets out in their life like, you know, I want to lose. But think this through. But there are a lot of losers in life, even though no one starts with that objective. I think the tricky thing when it comes to understanding genuine Christianity is that we still need to be willing to lose, but in a different way, if we're ever going to really achieve that victory that God has in mind for us. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would seek to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, both for me and for the gospel, he'll find it. Or again, another paraphrase of that same portion of scripture, Jesus speaking, he says, if anyone wants to come with me, he has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me. I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to finding yourself, your true self. You see, these claims that Jesus spoke are things that pragmatically he wants us to experience. But in order for us to experience that, we need to have the faith to do that. And what we'll find today is that we can experience lasting victory when we make three affirmations of faith. And this is kind of our outline for today. So if you're taking notes, you may want to write this down. These are the three things that are going to hold together our time as we get into Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to look to who God is. We need an affirmation of faith in what Jesus has done. And we need an affirmation of faith of who we really are in Christ Jesus. If we want to experience lasting victory that sometimes seems to hopelessly elude us, sometimes it's things that we know in our head that, boy, Jesus, again, he said that I've come that you might have life and life to the full, but why am I not experiencing that? Well, this will help us to understand perhaps why we're not experiencing that, what we need to do and where our affirmations of faith need to be in order to experience that, again, of who God is, what Jesus has done, and who we are in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We'll put it up on the screen here as well. But Hebrews chapter 7, we start off in verse 1. For this Melchizedek is where we start. Now, how many of you came prepared that you couldn't wait to talk about a guy named Melchizedek this morning, right? You probably just woke up and say, I just can't wait to hear about Melchizedek, right? Or you probably didn't hear this week, you know, your son probably didn't say, hey, can Johnny and Melchizedek come on over to play? You know, it probably just didn't happen. It's not a name that's really super common, but it's a name that's pretty important to our study today. For this Melchizedek, and we ended up chapter 6, it had this to say, referencing Melchizedek in chapter 6, just as we were finishing up last week. Jesus entered the veil as a forerunner, a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So it connects Jesus with this Melchizedek guy. So that's something important first for us to recognize. And as we get in here to chapter 7, a few things about this particular name. First of all, the name means innately King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness. And he's from Salem. He's from Salem, which means peace. Peace. Salem, the name. And it was also been pointed out by many scholars that Salem would actually one day in the ancient world become Jerusalem. That's where that city had actually been located. And a few things as we get into the text where it talks about that this particular man had no genealogy. It doesn't mean that he was some magical person. It just means there was no recorded record, which is a little unusual because there should be a recorded record if you're going to be at least a typical understanding of a king or of a priest. Well, that pedigree is pretty important, and yet he doesn't have it. So he's unlike any other. He kind of points forward to, if you want to call him, a Christ type. He helps us to identify what Jesus would offer people one day. And so understand that in Jesus, we find real righteousness. In Jesus, we can know real peace. You know, mankind's problem from the beginning is the same as it is today. There is a longing to cover all the parts of us that we know innately are just wrong. We know are misguided. We know are just ugly. And we want to hide those things. We want to cover those things up. We know they lack. Those are the things that we don't want anyone to know about ever. And what we know in Jesus, that there is a covering of those things in genuine righteousness, not some foolish band-aid that we try to put on. And in Jesus, that there is real peace. You see, mankind's problem from the beginning has been a longing for significance. Just say, it's okay, then I'm okay. We know we're not okay. In fact, Blaise Pascal put it this way, that there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person on the planet, regardless of culture, regardless of placement. There's a recognition that there is something lacking. There is a missing element. And those things that are lacking and those things that are missing in terms of those elements are the righteousness that God wants to freely give people through Jesus Christ. It's the genuine peace that everyone is longing for, that he wants us to experience and experience what it means to be genuinely his and find that significance. The verse goes on in chapter 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Now, the readers originally would have had a little bit more context than we are, so we need to look back on a bit so we can understand what he's talking about here. And we would need to reference Genesis chapter 14 so we can understand the account. But basically what happens here is that this guy named Melchizedek goes out to meet Abram, who again was justified by faith, right? And he needed to remind him where a recent great victory ultimately came from. That victory came from nothing else, God's sovereign hand and work in his life. You and I need the same type of reminders. That's why the New Testament is replete with things like, "It is no trouble of mine to remind you of these things, and it is a safeguard for you." You see, victory in your life is not simply achieved by acquiring everything you want. But we tend to think that, right? If we're honest, we think victory is just having it all the way of my way when I need it to be. However, I want to define that loosely, right? But that's not what genuine victory really looks like, not within the least. Victory in your life is not simply found in covering up the ugly parts so that no one else sees it, and yet having it still be there. Victory is when we can know the one in whom offers true peace in our life. Victory comes when we can have genuine righteousness. And in short, what we would say is that victory is found in Jesus Christ. And yet we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that. Have you ever forgotten something that's really important? Now, I don't mean your keys or your wallet. You can't find where it is. You eventually found it, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But you forgot something that was really important. So I remember the day, this was when I was a small child, but I observed the day when my dad forgot my mom's birthday. Oh. Now, please understand, there is no man I respect more highly in the world than someone like my father, who, especially if he can do something like that, someone who I know is probably more astute, more gentle, more kind, more interested in other persons than most people I've ever met. And if he can do something as knuckleheaded as that, what are the hopes for me? Okay? And that's why the scriptures say, be careful when you think you're standing firm. Because that's when you're going to fall. And sometimes that fall is just simply we forget the things of great consequence. And they have terrible ramifications in our life and for those that are around us. We got to be careful that we do not forget the things that we've already attained in the Lord. We got to be careful. We find that in Jesus, ultimately, lasting victory begins with faith in who God is. With faith in who God is. You see, the scriptures tell us this is the victory that has overcome even our faith. But it's not faith simply in faith. No. It's faith in a certainty and a surety in God of who he is. It is faith in that he is the one who is our peace. It is faith that he is the one who is our righteousness. You are created as a human to worship. And you will worship something or someone. It's just really a question of who. You'll either worship the God who created you and formed you and knows you and calls you and loves you, or you will worship something much, much lesser. And when you choose to do the latter, you will be enslaved by all sorts of things pragmatically, even if you know who Jesus is. You see, there is a great danger as we walk out our Christianity. Things that we know, if we don't know in our heart, we need to see that that moves from 2 feet from here to here. Because you got to understand that lasting victory ultimately begins with faith in all of who God is, if we want to avoid that trap. You know, there's so many voices that compete for our time and attention today, isn't there? It's just like a lot of things. And I'm not even talking about ads. I'm talking about what's on these. What do they call? Oh, yes. Notifications, right? Notifications from hell, usually. You know, just all things that are just boom, boom, boom. It can even be pretty benign things, but it just keeps us kind of doing this completely. Looking, always looking, right? In fact, a recent study kind of had this to point out. Due to those notifications, the average person today, listen to this, the average person today will touch their phone a total of 2,617 times a day. A day, okay? Want to talk about being a distracted culture in a distracted time. And here's the thing, Christian, for us, this is a real, real danger. Because it doesn't necessarily have to be bad stuff. It's just stuff that's just less. It's lesser stuff. It's stuff that's just ultimately takes us out to what really matters. Because you see, we end up forgetting then some pretty important things. You know what we forget? We forget all that what we couldn't do and can't do, Christ did. Okay? We tend just to forget that. In fact, if you want to put it this way, when you look at what's the difference between any other world religion, go ahead and take your pick, or at least cultural nicety Christianity and authentic Christianity, this is the difference. All the culture nicety Christianity and all other world religions is spelt this way, D-O. It's all about what you do and what you can do day in and day out. And if you're doing well, you can feel pretty good about yourself. And if you're doing not so well, you're not feeling so good about yourself anymore, are you? It's like, ooh, that's kind of a downer. But authentic Christianity, the distinction of it is that you don't spell Christianity authentically with D-O. You spell it D-O-N-E. In other words, authentic Christianity is all about what God has done already for you on your behalf. The text goes on here in Chapter 7, verse 11. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than the one after the order of Aaron? You know, what we find is that there was no permanent way to get rid of our condition, particularly looking through the Jewish law. You know, the priest had to keep going back, either for his own sins or the sins of his people. And yet here is the tremendous truth that we have as we look what Jesus has done on our behalf. All of our past sins, every single one of them, even as I was speaking with a gal after the last service, even those sins that you feel are just too big, too deep, too wrong, every single one of those, God, through Jesus Christ, puts his blood over and they are remembered no more. In fact, the scriptures put it this way, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Where does east meet west? It doesn't meet, does it? That's pretty far. So all of our past sins, all of our present sins that are going on right now, that's right, the Lord knows your thoughts, this moment, all of those present sins, all of our future sins that we will yet make, and all of the choices that we will yet act out as little rebels, even after having known Christ, that we'll still move forward and do. Every single one of those, God covers through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is amazing stuff. So do you want to experience lasting victory? You want to experience lasting victory when you'll experience it as you have faith in the one of what he has done for you. Of what he has done for you. And so what should our reaction be? Well, some things that we should just practically, this should move us towards. This was a number of weeks ago, but we are in Hebrews chapter 3. It told us this. It says, see to it, brothers. See to it, brothers. Okay, so we're talking to fellow Christians here. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. We have a significant obligation one to another. We need to remind each other of these things. We need to stir each other up towards these things because we tend to be a forgetful people. We tend to really miss out on the things that ultimately matters. And that's why for things like verses like 1 Peter are so important for us to have locked inside our heart. 1 Peter, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you are healed. This is all what Jesus has already done on your behalf. But we tend to lose sight of the significance of this. We tend to lose sight of it and we tend to forget it. And so we need to really help one another with that. So we experience victory when we look back. When we look back on the finished work of what Christ has done. And also of who we are in Jesus. You see, sometimes to look forward clearly, we really need to actually look back. I'm not sure about you, but our family gets into rough patches. We experience things collectively. We're either on each other's nerves or one of us is experiencing something that's difficult. You know, one of the things that we like to do, we actually look back on some of the things that were just great, fantastic times. Invariably, those would be different trips we took or vacations we took or things like that. You know what's better than looking forward to a vacation or a trip away together? It's looking back. Because, number one, you don't have any work to make. Number two, it's not going to cost you anything. Number three, it's just pragmatically better in every way. And so what we have done, even though we've taken these trips only a few times, we look back and we might relive them hundreds of times. And we talk about them and we say, do you remember this? Do you remember that? Do you remember what happened? How you felt when you had the opportunity to do this? You know, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, and that helps. That's similar to the idea of our relationship with Jesus Christ. When things are hard, we need to look back. The best indication of God's future faithfulness to you is his past faithfulness to you. And sometimes we need to look back and remember what are the things that were significant that God did in our life. Do you remember when God showed you this? Oh, yeah. Do you remember when the Lord just delivered you in this situation? Oh, yeah. And if you can say, like, I can't even remember any of those things. It's too dark, too complicated right now. My life's hurting. I have too much pain. Well, then you can reason your way all the way back to the cross. And when we reason our way all the way back to the cross, we can remember Christ's final judgment on the matter that he loves you. His arms are extended, and they're extended to embrace you completely. And those sins that you've committed, they are removed, and he has accepted you as his kid. And so that we are sons, and we are daughters of the Most High. So sometimes we need to look back in order to see clearly. Hebrews 7:25 puts it this way. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he, listen, always lives to make intercession for them. You see, it's not just what Jesus did. It's all of that. But it's what he's doing right now. He intercedes for you before the Father. You are secure in who you are because he did perfectly everything in the past and continues to do perfectly everything for you in the present moment. There's no one like Jesus. You know, when you think of the other high priests that went on in the ways of Judaism and the law, even people that were really significant folks throughout Scripture that God used, think of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, when he as a high priest went in on the Day of Atonement only once a year, and he went in that one day, God showed up in an amazing way, and he was pretty disbelieving. What happened? He couldn't talk. God, she said, "You haven't believed me. You're not going to even be able to speak, Zechariah." And so, mankind, we've always fallen short. We've never made the grade. That wasn't like it with Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life, was a perfect substitute, and now is your perfect intercessor that he can always be counted on. Always be counted on. And you see, when we really grab hold of that, that someone loves us, always has our best interest at heart, it really changes us in how we think about life. It really changes us in how we interact with people. In fact, there's a story. I want to read it to you verbatim because I had come across it and it really touched my heart so much. And it really helps to understand this. What happens in a person when they know that they're really loved? The differences that go on. And so this particular story was written down by a gal. She was a children's worker at a church, not unlike Grace Community Church, but it wasn't here. And a number of years ago, she just shared this story about a young boy that was in her class by the name of Ollie. So I'm going to share it with you. We had a young six-year-old boy, Ollie, in our kids' ministry, who had been in state care most of his life. His mother had committed suicide, and his dad was in and out of jail. I decided my weekly goal was to connect with Ollie. Every Sunday, I would make sure I spoke words of encouragement to him, and every Monday would send him a letter in the mail. One Sunday, I noticed him sitting on the floor at the back, separate from the other children. He had a pile of papers that he had spread out in front of him. I watched as he picked up the papers one at a time, and pretended to read them, and then placed them back in line on the floor. He refused to participate in the program. All he wanted to do was to look at those papers. Concerned, I sat down on the floor next to him, trying to assess the situation. As I went over to say hello, I noticed my handwriting on some of the papers. "Hi, Ollie. What have you got there?" And that's when it hit me. They were all the letters I had sent to him throughout the term. My eyes filled with tears as he looked at me, holding a letter that was smeared. He said, "These are my very special letters." Gal goes on to explain that it wasn't the end of Ollie's troubles. Ollie was later admitted to a children's psychiatric unit. And even though visitors were usually not permitted, because of the connection that she had with this child, she was readily admitted, and they continued to have profound effect on this young boy. Why? Because he knew that he was loved. You know, that was true on a human level. How much more can that and should that be true for you and for me? You see, the scriptures make it plain. It says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, there's someone who wants you on his team. There's someone who says that you have innate worth and value to him. So much so that he literally was willing to go through hell so that you would not need to go to hell. And so when we really allow our heart to catch up with that, a big change can happen in our life, just like it did with Ollie. So do you want to experience lasting victory? You only experience it as you look to who you are now in Christ Jesus. Not the things that used to previously define you. Not defined by your failures. Not defined by your shortcomings. Not defined by what other people say you are. You are defined by who God says you are. And when we really get a hold of that, experientially things begin to change. We are able to consistently walk in a measure of victory. And when we falter, we come back again to the what is the truth that we need to hold on to and exercise faith in who God is, who his character really is. We need to exercise faith in what he's done for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to exercise faith in who he says we are, that we are redeemed, that we are loved, that we are chosen, that we are his. This has huge bearings on our life. And as one, I believe, as a church, has incredible significance for us going forward. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment here, Bo's going to come up and he's going to just be playing some music in the background for us. And I want us just to remind us some of these things and that we've spoken about, because this has some pretty profound implications for our lives personally, but certainly for our life as a church as well. You know, the scripture has been pretty plain. Again, it tells us things like, thanks be to God, who leads us in victory in Christ Jesus. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. But thanks be to God who leads us in victorious procession and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. So dear friends, the fact is you have victory. Really, the only question is, will you walk in it? Will you walk in it? Will you allow the Lord to move the truths you know here to here? That 2-foot chasm needs to be bridged. And it's something that can be bridged through the power of the Holy Spirit and a volitional act of your own choosing, where you exercise faith, faith in who he is, faith in what Jesus has done for you, and faith in who he says you are in him, redeemed, chosen, holy, appointed, anointed. All of that is your rightful inheritance. Don't allow yourself to be sidelined by things that aren't true. Don't allow yourself to experience things that are lesser when he doesn't have that for you. Don't miss out on the victorious life today that God has. Today is the day of salvation. And even if you've come already to a place of saving faith in Jesus, you may need to exercise today a choice that says, I choose to believe today who God is, what he's done for me, and who I am in Christ. I won't allow myself any longer just to simply allow life to happen to me. Circumstances are going to come. They are going to be difficult. God can change our circumstances, and sometimes he will. Many times he won't. Because he wants you to see that in the midst of sometimes the most horrible circumstances, he is more than enough for you. He wants you to see that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so to those ends, perhaps what you need this morning is just to renew that faith. Renew faith in those areas. You see, he is the one who lasts. He is the better thing. He gives true righteousness. He gives genuine peace of heart. The kind of peace that ultimately every single person on the planet is looking for. He provides it in abundance by nature of who he is. You are created for him. You belong to him. And perhaps you need to just remember and renew faith in what he's done for you. That sacrifice was enough. It was greater than all our screw-ups, greater than all our mistakes, greater than all the problems that we bring to the table. Everything that Jesus did was more than enough. And because of that, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Don't believe the cultural lies, because you are made for more. You're made for more than this. And there's going to be a little bit more while, a little bit while of the this that we need to walk through. And in the midst of it, he wants you to experience some of the measure of that eternal life of what he has in mind for you in the future. And that's why he can say with certainty, I've come that you might have life to the full now and have it more abundantly. Doesn't mean it's going to remove all your problems. Doesn't mean all things that just are hard suddenly go away, but it means that you have the sustaining elements that you need to walk in victory, to walk in joy, and to see God do profound things in your life. So here in this moment, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone just to close your eyes and bow your heads. There's nothing magical about this. It just gives us a chance just to focus just a bit. And if you're online, I'd invite you to do the same thing. Just get yourself in a place where you're maybe not distracted. And if you're just in your living room, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And we're going to go to the Father right now. And what I'm going to ask him about is that if there's people in this room that though they've called on Jesus, they know Jesus, they haven't pragmatically experienced this victory today or even in recent memory, but you're hungry to see it today, we're going to talk to the Father about you today, no matter where you are. He is with you. And we're also going to talk about if you've never, you don't know what I'm talking about because you don't know God. You don't pretend to know God, but you'd like to. Well, we're going to talk about that too. Let me just pray just for this moment and join me, eyes closed, head bowed. Father, we come into your throne room and we thank you that we can come here a new and a living way offered to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, that even though everything around us, our world just is so topsy-turvy, you don't change. You don't change like the shifting shadows. You don't change your mind. Lord, you are peace. You are righteousness. Lord, you have paid the debt we couldn't pay. And we now, if we placed our faith and trust in you, are your redeemed kids. But many of us in this room, many of us online right now listening to this, need a fresh touch from your Holy Spirit. Father, will you touch us with the power of your Spirit? As we now make a choice, a volitional choice, to simply say, I feel like I'm drowning, but I'm lifting my head up and I'm looking to you, Jesus. Won't you meet them in this moment? Meet them in this moment and remind them of who you are. Remind them of what you've done. Remind them of who they are in you. And Lord, give them joy. Joy abundantly in you. More than every sorrow that they're presently experiencing or any difficulty that they're presently walking in. Remind them that you are more. So if you're listening right now in online someplace or you're in this room, you just would pray something to your Father saying, Father, you know I'm your kid. I've just been surviving. I know you call me to be thriving. Help me, Lord, this day to trust you. I renew, Lord, my heart and my faith in who you are and what Jesus has done on my behalf and who you say I am. I don't feel it, but I've taken your word at it, Lord. With everyone's eyes closed and head still bowed, if that's you, could you just slip up your hand and put it down? Just slip up your hand if you're in the North Liberty. Hands all over this room. Amen. See those hands going up and down? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the same is true for you listening online. Offer applies. Just slip up that hand as a testimony saying, I'm asking for that today. For those of you that are listening to this now and you've heard some of these things, you understand at least what you've heard, that Jesus pays for sins, and that's really all you need to know. What Jesus said is that anyone that has the faith of a little child the Lord will not turn him away. And so you might just say in your heart, if you have not yet placed your faith and trust in Jesus and you can't have any assurance that you're his, he wants you to have that assurance. You would just might pray something like, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I haven't made the grade. I believe Jesus died for that sin. Won't you make me yours? Won't you make me clean? Oh, and friend, he promises to do that. So if that's you and you've done that, I would encourage you, I'd ask you, just share that with one other person this week. I'd love to talk to you. If you're here in North Liberty, I'd love to talk to you about that. Just share you made that decision this week. We're about out of time, but for the rest of us in North Liberty, let's open our eyes. There's one more commitment I want us to walk through here. If you're walking in that victory, you say, I know, I'm weary, but I'm walking. Well, then the other choice I'd have for you, I told you one or two commitments, right? And you were so good, and God gave me a voice to speak. God gave you ears to listen, so here we are. The thing I just would remind you of is that you need the Word. You need to have the consistency of hearing from God every day. Even if it's just a little bit, you need that. So if you haven't, we invite you to take out those phones that we touch 2,615 times a day. Add one more to it. And to 94253, text Lent21. It'll be just one tool, one way for you to do that. We need to live then, church. We need to live in light of the eternal hope, the lasting victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this time together. Ask your blessing over this people. We pray, God, that we would go with the certainty of what we have in you. We pray, God, that we would experience joy this week, that we'd see you at work. We ask, God, Lord, for these recommitments of this time, that you just would, in a special way, touch them with the power of your Holy Spirit, that they would see fresh things from you. Lord, for those that have just come to know you, we ask, God, that you would keep them safe, that you would bring them and to grow firmly in your kingdom. We thank you for all the good things we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name and for his sake we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in grace. We'll see you next week.